Sabalski, Solkowski, and now Jovanovski. This must be the ski patrol. It's all downhill from here.
Ed Jovanovski.
Morning.
Jovocop, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Morning to you.
How are you guys doing?
It's a little wet out here.
Yeah, it's not nice. We're not in Florida. We're not living the life.
That's where I was coming back from the game last night. It was to surprise coming into a rainstorm. We haven't seen rain here in about a week, so we've been pretty lucky that way. But good for the landscaping.
There you
go. Always a positive, you know?
Yeah. You want to make sure your workers, when they're in front of your yard, Eddie, are feeling better for the land when you pay them, hey?
Hey, Jovo, it looked like there were some good seats still available for that Panthers-Lightning game there last night.
Yeah, you know, guys, during the week, it's a tough draw, you know, in Florida. It was a good game, you know, the Battle of Florida, so there was some excitement building up to it. It doesn't look the greatest on TV with those red seats.
Nope.
That's for sure.
Hey, Eddie, I don't know if you were on the line when we were talking about Michael Ferland, and we don't know. He comes back from concussion, plays a period, throws a couple of decent hits, and then doesn't show up in the second. And we're speculating because Travis Green last night just said, you know, it's upper body. But, man, did you play with anybody or would you be concerned as a player? You come back from concussion, you throw a couple of hits like that, and then you don't show up for the second. Is that a logical guess that it might just be the fact that he's feeling something again?
I would think so, Perry. I think, you know, someone that misses time with concussion symptoms and gets himself to a spot where he feels like he can play again. And I think for the fans to realize there's a huge protocol to go through, you know, once a player is, you know, with a head injury. So I'm sure all the necessary steps were taken. Coaches, teams, management, everyone's cautious with these scenarios nowadays. So for him to put the time in to come in and kind of not come back during the game, I think it's got to be a little worrisome because, you know, sometimes with these head injuries, you just never know. We've had cases throughout the NHL players who careers have ended, for this reason.
You know, and it's crazy to think that we're talking 20 years ago. It wasn't all that long ago that I can still recall conversations, days of covering junior, even the NHL for that matter, somebody disappearing for the second period, you know, in a post-game interview asking the coach, hey, where did, you know, what happened to Ed Jovanovski? Oh, you know what, he got his bell rung, but you know what, he came back in the third and scored a big goal for us. I mean, Jovo, you probably remember those conversations, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all, I think it's just changed, James, along with so many other things that as time's moved on, things have changed. And I remember, you know, just a quick story when I was playing, I think it was in Vancouver at the time. I came out, I fought Keith Primo, he knocked me out. I went back into the locker room, got stitches, and went back out and fought him right away again. So 5 minutes earlier, I was knocked down, kind of yard sale on the ice, getting stitched up, going back and kind of fighting again. Those days are over. I mean, it's now, you're taking the time. No team is going to put a player in that position to come out again and kind of further do damage. So
yeah, but that's probably less than 20 years ago, right? I mean, that's crazy that, like, yeah, hey, we've gotten better, but like that's not that long ago that would have happened.
Right. So it's almost, you want to be like, what has changed? I mean, it's like the head injuries now, you're kind of hearing it, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, someone upper body injury for the most part, when you see the hit, you kind of know that it's probably a head issue. But you're right, like not even 20 years ago, I mean, guys would, like you said, I mean, get hit hard and just kind of find a way to come back. Do they know more now as everything is kind of coming to the forefront on the, you know, the severity of brain issues? I'm sure they do. It's well documented that they do. So there's definitely some precaution in that, and it's smart on both sides.
Ed Jovanovski joins us as he does every Wednesday. And, Eddie, you know, we saw that on Saturday. Bo Horvat took a high hit, had a couple more shifts, and then the ref stopped the game and said, you got to go to concussion protocol. I ask you this. You say you get knocked out by Primo. You're out for a bit. You come back in that game, fight him again. Did you, for the next couple of days, guy? Did you feel the effects for a few days? When did you feel normal again?
Well, yeah, I mean, you feel a little off, but not to the point where you're kind of going to, the trainer or anyone on the team saying, listen, I feel wobbly or I don't feel right. I think you have that headache that kind of lasts for, a few days. But that's all. You just never thought anything differently of it. And maybe it's, just naive on the thinking of head injuries at that time. We didn't just know as much. I think now you tell your trainer that you have a headache, you're probably not going to play on the ice or get on the ice within 72 hours. So I think it's one of those things where if you do let someone know, no one's taking that chance anymore of, screwing around with the brain.
And Joe Manosca here on Sportsnet 650. You look a little at what went down last night with the Canucks falling 4-1 to the Leafs. Yeah, fun game, going back and forth, a lot of opportunities. Besser multiple breakaways and just could not beat Freddie Anderson, who was the best individual on the ice last night. But you look at some of the numbers. Bo Horvat, here's a guy, first year as captain of the team, 2 goals in the last 19 games, Eddie, and Besser's got 4 in the last 19. When those are your 2 of your biggest offensive threats on the club, how concerning is that when you've gone almost a quarter of the season and those two horses have combined for just 6 goals?
Yeah, it kind of comes with that star kind of, territory where, your contract is big, you're a leader on the team, you're looked upon as a guy to contribute offensively, and things just haven't gone the way you want it to for them. I think the bigger picture is you look at you're getting opportunities. These star players, these elite players at the end of the day find a way to get it done. So I don't think there's a huge, area for concern there. I think as long as the team is continuing getting points and things are kind of trending in the right direction as far as team-wise, these players will find their way. We have the same issue here early on with Sasha Barkov. Everyone's like, what's going on with this guy? And sure enough, the chances were still there, and the opportunities were coming, and then he's finding the back of the net. I think the game last night versus Toronto, obviously that game was magnified. Leading up to a great game, you got boatloads of talent on the ice. The goaltender played great. Canucks had, multiple great chances, to score. It just didn't go that way. But I think for the star players, they're going to get their looks. And that's an area of concern. I think when they're so stifled, they're not getting the looks, is an area to maybe look at something else. But as for now, I think they're going to come along.
Yeah, the talk post-game in the dressing room of the Canucks was, and Travis said, hey, we put that kind of effort out. Probably the best game we've played in 10 games, and sometimes you play good hockey and you don't get 2 points. Does that take a mature team, though, Ed, to have that feeling? Because these guys look, and I just have a feeling a young team, they're looking at the scoreboard going, okay, Anaheim gets a win, Nashville's winning, Calgary continues to roll. Does it take experience to go, believe in yourself that if we do that tomorrow against Carolina, we'll be okay?
It does, and sometimes when you don't have that experience, I don't know if you're smart enough to even think that way. As young players, you just want to go out there and play and perform and win games. But it comes to a point where the leadership group, from the coaches, from Greeny, come, hey, guys, this is the process. Trust the process. Continue playing hard. The results are going to come. It's frustrating when you have multiple chances. You can't beat a goaltender. The game here last night could have been 10-1. For Tampa. Florida was just not in the game at all. Bob played unbelievable. Florida had a couple pucks that rolled over their blades around the net, could have made it a game. But for the most part, at the end of the day, it's a 2-1 game. It could have been worse. So on the flip side for Vancouver, as long as you're creating things and by all sounds, the coach was really happy the way things went. You just continue plugging away.
Ed Jovanovski here on Sportsnet 650. Have you ever been involved in a 12-game losing streak like the Wings are in right now?
Oh, man. Probably. Some part
you know, somebody made a point. Dmitry Filipovich on Twitter last night made the point. There's been four NHL coaches replaced behind benches since the Wings last won a game.
Wow.
Four coaches have been turfed since the Wings last won a game. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see that because we're the last few decades. I mean, you look at Detroit as a team that's a perennial playoff team that was in the mix all the time with the championships. So you see them in the mess that they're in right now. Stevie Y's got his hands full on rebuilding that team. It's tough to watch. You know, a lot of the players when they came in through Florida here, I didn't recognize some of the players, kind of who they have. But you got to trust Stevie on the process again here, and hopefully they can turn it around in years.
Rather than do my research, I'll just ask you: did you ever play and cross paths with Rick Bonus?
Arizona
was Bones your head coach in Arizona?
No, he
wasn't. Okay,
no. But you know what? Just playing many years, it's a face that you saw every year, behind the net, behind the bench. And I think I heard something yesterday. I think for like 30 years he's been, either head coach or behind the bench, an associate. So he's been around a long time. I think what the good thing there in Dallas is, he's taken over a team that is, coming off a horrible start. And I think it was 16-4-2 in their last 22 games. So, and you see they picked up the win yesterday. So I don't think much has changed as far as that. I think the coaching was there for the guys. They turned the corner. It was just a whole unfortunate, kind of caught everyone by surprise with what happened there.
Yeah, so other than the shock, Ed, and I know, we were trying to think of, you just never hear of something like that on a game day if a team's playing well. But other than the initial holy smokes, what happened? A pro athlete, that hockey team with that much skill and a familiar face like Bones can probably just roll right along?
Yeah, I think so, Perry. I mean, you look at their lineup and, it's an NHL, you got a veteran group, mixed young, kind of that mid-age team that's, looked upon, I think, the start of the year as being one of the teams that can do something this year in the National Hockey League. So I think as a team, when something like this happens kind of, and I was watching Jamie Benn's interview. I think all these guys were shocked just as, the viewers are, is what really happened here. But when you look at this team and you look the way that how they performed yesterday, I'm not sure they're going to skip a beat.
Well, end this conversation with the last question we gave Bert yesterday, and James, he was fired up. You're a club champion. Have you ever pulled a Patrick Reed in the sandbunker?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a tough one.
Cheater, not tough. He's just a cheater.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Foot wedge.
Like for him to kind of have an excuse on that, I think at that point you just say, listen, man, I screwed up. I was trying to improve kind of the lie in front of the ball here. Or behind the ball, and that's it. I think he's created a bigger mess, with this whole scenario. And that's one area. You just don't cheat, ever. But in golf, is such a, that prestige factor that, a lot of it is on honor. So he's in a pickle there for sure. He's got a lot of explaining to do. And I know with the President's Cup here right ready to begin, there's been a lot of coverage on that.
Makes him a villain. Villains sell in sports. But hey, in closing
not
on this,
cheaters, though.
I'm not sure anyone liked this guy anyway.
No, that's it. Hey, but hey, speaking of which, speaking of dislike, you touched on, at the beginning of our conversation, you touched on your fight with Keith Primo. I'm looking on YouTube here. You've got like three or four different fights with the Primo family. What was there a personal issue with you guys and the Primos?
No, they just play hard. Wayne was one of those guys who play hard, and I don't know, Keith was, No, there wasn't no personal.
There's like five fights with you guys, man. It was like a blood feud between the Jovanovskis and the Primos.
I don't know. It was always someone, I don't know, maybe they were taller and I wanted to kind of fight someone bigger than me.
That's
why. I'll tell you what, though. Keith hit me with one, and he split me open, man. I was just like, where am I? And the funny thing is, I went to the locker room when I went to get stitched up. I was so kind of pumped up to get back. I told the doctor, I said, listen, don't give me any freezing. So he gets the first one, he kind of pierces the skin and said, listen, buddy, get that needle and freeze me up here. And that was uncomfortable.
As long as the 18,000 people think I'm tough.
Yeah, it wasn't that tough.
Yeah. I'm going to tell them I didn't get freezing because I'm really tough now. Come on, Doc. Damn it, I'm not Rocky.
it's like remember when was it Jason Smith in Edmonton where he got stitched up?
On the bench?
You know, right on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. So. Oh.
Speaking of which, did you guys see the Alistair Overeem lip split open on the weekend?
Oh
man, I don't know. Unless you're squeamish, don't look for it. But it's pretty nasty.
Maybe that's why Keith Primeau had his kid play goal. I don't want you fighting. I got into some battles with Jovanovski. There was a couple times my fist was so sore, my knuckles were bruised for days.
Yeah, punching the helmets wouldn't work that often.
Thank you, Jovo. Always enjoy our Wednesdays.
Still love you, buddy. Adding to the ski team.
All right, guys. Why don't you guys sit back and marvel at that Cole contract for a little bit?
Not bad,
huh?
Yeah, well, you know what? You know it's a big contract if you're jealous about it.
I was going to say.
Oh, my God. What a day today would be. Oh.
Yeah,
all right, guys.
Sportsnet 650.